This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us here at Cradle My Heart Radio. We are excited to talk about one of the events of the year for people who are standing for the cause of life and walking and marching for the cause of life, and that is the March for Life 2016. There's a new part to this annual gathering, which has been taking place in Washington, D.C. ever since Roe versus Wade made abortion the law of the land 43 years ago now. This might be the 43rd annual march. We'll get our facts straight as we go along. But if you've never been to it, we're going to try to set the stage for you about what is involved at the March for Life, because it's not simply a protest. It's not simply a political event that happens over the course of a few hours in our nation's capital. It's so much more, including something new that's happening this year as a result of a partnership between Focus on the Family and the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. And joining us to talk about that, even the Evangelicals for Life Conference, is Kelly Rosati, who is with Focus on the Family. And Kelly is President of Community Outreach at Focus. Kelly, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be with you.
We are excited about this conference because it's, there are various evangelical groups that have been present at the March for Life, but it has had a real Catholic flavor, if you will, and the presence of evangelicals in the pro-life movement, I don't think has been really accurately reflected at March for Life year in and year out. Tell me about the impetus for starting this new conference called Evangelicals for Life.
Well, sure. As leaders in the evangelical pro-life movement, we really wanted to help galvanize and, as you say, kind of catalyze evangelicals to participate in this one-of-a-kind event. The March for Life is like nothing else you can imagine. 500,000 people gathered on our nation's capital, and really just to be a witness, to be a bright light, to celebrate the dignity and the sanctity of every human life. It is a peaceful, beautiful witness to the cause of life. And we have been so grateful for the leadership of the Catholic community in the March for Life. And one of the things that Dr. Moore often says with the Southern Baptist Convention is we don't want to see any fewer Catholics participating. But as you said, we want to see so many more evangelicals come alongside and participate in that. And that is the reason that we decided to host the first ever evangelical conference in conjunction with the march, and that's called Evangelicals for Life, and it will feature terrific speakers like Jim Daly, our president of Focus on the Family, Dr. Russell Moore, David Platt, the author of Radical, folks like Sam Rodriguez, and just so many others, Charmaine Yost, who's the head of Americans United for Life. It's just going to be a tremendous array of speakers talking about a variety of topics that touch the sanctity of human life. And the goal is to equip people to know how they can be a voice for life in their own communities, their own families, and their own churches.
Mm-hmm. And, there's also, I'm excited about this because many of us won't be able to get to Washington, D.C. at the end of January to be there in person, but there is a way that you can participate, and we'll get into that as the conversation goes along. So stay with us if you don't just say, oh, well, I can't go to Washington, D.C., this isn't for me. There's a way that you can participate, so
there
hang
is.
On.
Yes.
And stay with us here at Cradle My Heart as we're speaking with Kelly Rosati. Kelly, I've heard your story. And I know that you're going to be addressing adoption and foster care as part of the Evangelicals for Life conference. And I want to start there because in the past year, this I don't know, I even know how to characterize it, but this idea people have that, well, people who are pro-life don't care about children once they're born. They're not in favor of, you know, alleviating poverty. They're not in favor of helping mothers who, you know, need government services, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not, first of all, an either-or proposition, but
exactly.
It's also true that people in the pro-life movement are absolutely taking care of the adoption and foster care piece. Share a little bit of your story and what you're going to be addressing at the conference on the issues of adoption and foster care.
Well, sure. I would say, though, to address the charge that is often levied against pro-lifers that we don't, in fact, do enough to care about life after that child is born. I mean, you're exactly right. The pro-life community, the Christian community, has been on the front lines of so many of those issues after birth as well. But there is also a grain of truth that there is much more to be done, and that if many more people within the pro-life community would step up and would take on the cause of foster care adoption, we would have much better outcomes here in the U.S. For example, we have 100,000 modern-day orphans right now in our nation that are waiting to be adopted. Now, these are kids who are not babies. They're kids that, frankly, the world says probably shouldn't have been born and right now describes as unadoptable. Well, we just reject that categorically. They're teenagers. They're kids with special needs. They're sibling groups. And God has made each one in his image and has a plan for their lives. But there's 100,000 modern-day orphans still waiting while we have 300,000 churches in the U.S. And so you can do the math on that pretty easily. If just one family in every third church would welcome home a modern-day orphan, we would have no more of them in the U.S. That would be such a powerful testimony. So we do want to communicate the message that we can and must do better as a Christian community, as a pro-life community, on behalf of orphans, both in our country and around the world. But at the same time, it's certainly not the case that pro-life and Christian people haven't been participating in these things all along. So we've been there, and we want to keep doing better to address the need. You asked me specifically about our family. My husband and I were super blessed. The Lord brought us our four kids through the blessing of foster care adoption. And we really came to that very specifically because of our passion for the pro-life cause. As we, you know, most pro-lifers, of course, we're all for adoption. We understand that if a woman experiences an unexpected pregnancy, there are only two life-affirming options. One is to make a parenting plan and to parent the child, and the other is to make an adoption plan. And so it was sort of in the course of trying to understand better how we could promote the cause of adoption that we came face-to-face with that reality of kids in our own community, modern-day orphans who needed families, and kind of the inescapable conclusion that we had a family and God had blessed us mightily, and on what basis could we possibly say no when there were kids facing that need? And so that began our journey of foster care adoption.
Well, Kelly, that is such an inspiring story, but I'm sure there are people who listen who say, well, I can't afford four kids, and I'm just too busy to even take on one more child. I mean, how in the world did this, how did it really play out? I want you to give some encouragement to someone who maybe feels a little bit touched by what you've said, but they're just not sure they could pull it off.
Sure. Well, the first good piece of news is that adoption from foster care costs virtually nothing. You don't need wealth. So a lot of times people hear the word adoption, they think two things. They think infertility and they think expensive. So on the expense side, let's just, you know, spread that good news that foster care adoption really doesn't cost anything. And in fact, with adoption tax credits, you can actually get back dollar for dollar any training or other small incidental costs and then some. So that's a really good piece of financial news. The other thing then that people often think about is that adoption is only for people who otherwise can't conceive and have children. And really what the Lord impressed upon our hearts and what we try to communicate here is focus on the family, is to flip this thing completely upside down. And don't think about kind of our wants and desires as adults, whether we've ever wanted to do this before, whether we've ever felt this was something that was in our future. And really think about it from the perspective of the need of the child, so that if we as believers believe with all our hearts that God makes every human being in his image, if we believe that he's a father to the fatherless and that he sets the lonely in families, if we believe that pure religion that he accepts as pure and faultless is to look after widows and orphans in their distress, if we believe those things, really the question gets tipped upside down. And if we could pray, Lord, do you want to use the blessing of our family on behalf of a child without one? I think that would be a different way of looking at it, and I think many more people would be led to say, you know what, we have a little bit more room in our home, and we have a little bit more room in our hearts, and this would be something prayerfully that we would consider moving ahead on. And so for us, that's really how it started. We just came face to face with that need. We were actually living in Hawaii at the time. I know, real difficult territory before you start harassing me about that. my husband was in the military. We were stationed over there. And we just became aware of the needs of the kids in our own neighborhood who didn't have any families. They didn't have parents. And we had always said as pro-life people that if we had ever heard of a mom who was experiencing an unplanned pregnancy and was considering abortion because she didn't have an option, that we would always, always take that child. And we just looked at this need as kind of an extension of that. And with that began the very exciting, very eventful journey that God takes you on when you put your toe in the water and consider adoption.
Kelly Rosati, Vice President of Community Outreach at Focus on the Family, where she also oversees the Adoption and Orphan Care Initiative. She'll be talking about adoption and foster care at the Evangelicals for Life Conference as part of the March for Life 2016 in Washington, coming up at the end of the month of January. And Kelly, I want to, before we move to the other topics on the table today, I want to give you a chance to address the stereotype that, well, these kids have baggage. If you're adopting an older child or if you're taking a child out of foster care, you're just going to have problems, attachment. Talk about the reality versus the stereotype there.
Well, the reality is that a lot of that is pretty well spot on. The truth of the matter is that when kids have undergone trauma, when they have experienced abuse, neglect, and abandonment, they are hurt. And they are wounded. And the idea that you're going to bring them into your home and just parent them like you do all your other kids and get them all fixed up, none of that's realistic. The beautiful part, however, is that God doesn't call us to fix our kids. He calls us to love them, to introduce them to Him, to be a conduit through which He can heal their hurting hearts. And so I would say that it's one of those things that you really have to come to with humility and with a willingness that God will change you as you go through the process, conform you to the image of His Son as He increases your patience, as He increases your perseverance and your strength and your ability for grace and for mercy and for love. There's just no two ways about it. Usually when you parent a child with a traumatic background, it is going to be hard. But the great news is the fact that that difficulty does not negate the calling. And if we believe what we believe and what we say we believe as evangelicals, we know that God will meet us there. He will supply our needs according to His riches and glory, and He will do a beautiful thing in the process. But it's probably going to be harder and messier than you might expect going into it. And so when we prepare people during our foster care adoption conferences, we talk very openly about this, that there will be challenges and that you need to not fear them, you need to expect them, and you need to be prepared, because if you're prepared, it will be a lot easier along the way. And so I do think counting the cost and examining some of those things is really, really important, but should never be a deterrent to anybody moving ahead if that's the way they feel that the Lord is leading them.
Sure. Well, and so let's talk about reshaping the tone for pro-life evangelicals. Some of the words that get used, some of the rhetoric is frankly no better than what we hear from folks on the other side of the aisle on this issue. There's a lack of love. There's a lack of Christ-like compassion in some of the comments that are made. How are we, one of the things this conference is seeking to do is to reshape that tone. Give us some ideas about how that will happen.
Well, you're exactly right about how important it is that everything we do in this sphere and in all spheres reflects the love of Christ in our speech and in our tone. I'm actually going to do one of the talks about this at the conference, and one of the things I think is so important is that we not view this tone issue as simply one of tactics, but that it is actually coming from the heart. Because if we truly believe what we say, I find myself saying that a lot today on this interview, if we really walk the talk that every human being is made in the image and likeness of God, that applies not only to the preborn child for whom we are advocating, but to the person on the other side of the aisle or the person who is on the completely different side of this issue. We need to speak from a place where it is love in our hearts that is there because we understand how much God has loved us. And it's when we can do that honestly and earnestly, and again, not as a tactic, that people, I think, will take notice. And that we will have the opportunity then to be more effective in our advocacy for the preborn. And so we take that very, very seriously, whether it is the abortion doctor or the person who works at Planned Parenthood, whether it is a politician advocating a position that we are completely against. When we interact, our speech must always be seasoned with the love of Christ. And we just think that is an absolutely foundational component to being effective pro-life advocates.
You know, social media has so leveled the playing field, and everyone gets to have their say and leave a comment, no matter how lofty the original speaker may have been. And I am mortified at what I see in the comment sections of news websites as well as on social media by people who profess to be pro-life. So I think that this is a great exercise of leadership. And, you know, I know that my Lord has told me that when I see that problem in others, I probably have a log in my eye. So this is one of the areas that I know I need to be refined upon. I can't allow myself to get angry. I can't allow myself to let negative opinions grow in my heart as a way of trying to win arguments. Because, as you say, it's not just a tactic here. There's so much more at stake.
Yeah. Amen. I just think it's exciting because I do think that as we do that, God uses it in great ways and things change.
Kelly Rosati with Focus on the Family is talking about the Evangelicals for Life conference, which is taking place in conjunction with this year's March for Life in Washington, D.C., late in the month of January. And Kelly, let's talk about the future of the pro-life movement. What is the vision right now? And if we could shape it, where do we want to see it going?
Well, there is great news on this front. The advent of ultrasound technology has played such a significant role, I think, in really helping change minds of people on this issue of abortion. So if you look at the demographics out there in three particular categories, if you look at millennials, if you look at the Hispanic community, you will really see that the trends are in the right direction. And more young people are pro-life than are their parents. And I think one of the reasons for this is just young people have grown up with ultrasound, so that if you have a brother or sister coming into your family, the first picture that goes in the family, well, the former family photo album, which is probably now digital via Facebook or some other means, you see that ultrasound picture. And you know that that is your brother or sister. And so the idea that this is just a blob of tissue or this is just some kind of cold clinical termination of pregnancy, it just doesn't fly anymore. Ultrasound is a window to the womb, and people have been able to see with their own eyes, you know, what we've known forever, which is that preborn children are, in fact, people made in the image and likeness of God and worthy of protection. So from that standpoint, there is so much to be encouraged about, and just really want those who have been in the pro-life community for some time who might feel discouraged that there's never much progress to know that actually there really is progress, and there are some polling trends that are going in a very, very positive direction. In addition to that, abortion is actually down nationwide, still far, far too many abortions, but again, the trend is in the right direction. And if you look at state policy to restrict abortion, whether that be through informed consent laws, parental consent laws, parental notification laws, abortion clinic regulations, all of those things have been increasing and improving the climate. And so I think there are a lot of things to be excited about as we look to the future. We are hopeful, and we are just going to continue to lift our voices on behalf of those preborn children. And we trust that one day people will look back and say, how could we ever have gone along with that? And for those of us who are being a voice for the voiceless, we pray that we will never cease to do that, and that it will make a big difference one day. We'll look back and wonder how it could have ever been otherwise.
Mm. Kelly, I know that so many of our listeners have had an abortion experience in the past, and I'm included in that, and I always need to say that so no one feels isolated, because it is certainly not something that is rare. The rhetoric may tell you that, but there are millions of women and men who have suffered because of the abortion choice in their past, or more than one. And I know that Focus on a Family has a heart to reach these people as well.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that.
A good point. I really don't ever want to talk about the issue of abortion without always coming back to the good news of the cross of Jesus Christ, that forgiveness and wholeness and healing and cleansing and a fresh start absolutely available for every single person. And so thank you for bringing that up, and for always being a witness to that, a reminder of that, a testimony to that. At Focus on the Family, we have a free helpline that people can call if they would like information about post-abortion healing, if they would like to be prayed for, or even if they just need to be reminded of that good news that God's mercies are new every morning, and that as far as the east is from the west, he's taken our sin from us. That is good news that every person that has been involved in abortion needs to hear, so that they do not labor under that shame or guilt that would prevent them from living the life that God has for them going forward.
Absolutely. And Focus on the Family, I just so appreciate, has been at the vanguard of reaching out and of bringing this issue to light and of helping people understand that it is not an unforgivable sin, nor is it a mistake that can never be overcome. There is
absolutely
hope and new life and redemption available in Christ for each one of us. Well, Kelly, I mentioned that the Evangelicals for Life conference is going to be available for churches as well as even individuals in their homes to be able to tap into. Tell us a little bit about that or where we can learn more information about it.
You bet. Well, you can simply go to evangelicals.life on the internet. That's just evangelicals.life. And you can get all the information about how you could sign up for a free simulcast so that you can participate, as you said, even if you're not able to come to Washington, D.C. You can hear the great speakers that we're going to have and be able to take in some of that content and learn how to be better equipped to be a voice for life in your own community. Again, just go to evangelicals.life and you'll get all of that simulcast information, and we hope that lots of people will do that and join with us.
Kelly, we have a couple of minutes remaining, and whenever we find ourselves in this rare situation, I'd like to make the invitation for you to please lead us in a prayer for the conference and for beyond.
You bet. I'd be happy to do that. Lord, thank you for this station, and thank you for the listeners. Lord, thank you that nothing is ever an accident, and that if folks are hearing this today, that you have something for them with regard to this topic. I just pray that you lead them and guide them in your truth and equip them in their hearts and their minds to be able to be a loving, Christ-centered witness for life. And I pray that you would bless them as they do that. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Kelly Rosati, Vice President of Community Outreach at Focus on the Family, and also Kelly oversees the Adoption and Orphan Care Initiative, giving us more details about the Evangelicals for Life Conference taking place in Washington as part of the March for Life 2016. Kelly, I hope we get a chance to talk again very soon in the future.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
The Evangelicals for Life Conference is a partnership between Focus on the Family and the Ethics and Religion Liberty Commission, and you can find all the details at our website at cradlemyheart.org, and of course we'll be posting some stories on our Facebook page as well, so be sure to check us out on social media. Now stay with us here at Faith Radio. We will be taking your phone calls up next. Our phone lines will be open live at 1-800-811-3003. We'll discuss some of the top pro-life stories in the news this week and your thoughts, questions, and comments as well. Stay with us here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Good evening. Thanks so much for being here. We really appreciate you making Cradle My Heart Radio part of your Sunday evening choice. I know there are so many things competing for our attention, but I am here for you, and I'm glad that you're here too. And this is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And before we get on to the topics for tonight, I want to hear from you if your church mentioned Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. 1-800-811-3003. Just a quick survey. Call and let us know. And for everyone who calls, we'll put a beautiful pro-life resource of some kind or another into your hand, because our bookshelf is overflowing. If you'd like a copy of my book, Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion, please let us know that. But otherwise, we will select a resource for you and put it in your hands just for calling and joining the conversation to let us know, yes or no, did your pastor or somewhere in the bulletin, maybe even a bulletin insert, somewhere in your worship service today, was there mention of the fact that today is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday? 1-800-811-3003. I ask this question because I think if everyone listening weighed in, we would hear a majority no. Nothing was said at my church, and this is not a criticism. It's just, again, factual. I'm not asking you to gossip or speak out of turn or say anything, you know, derogatory or critical of your church or your pastor, certainly, but just wanting to know about the awareness level out there. I know that in the past, I've been asked to go and share my testimony at different churches for a Sanctity of Human Life event. And this is the day that many women and men for the first time in church have heard about God's forgiveness after abortion because of a story like mine. And I think that's one of the real values. Of course, we want to do everything we can to protect human life. We want to do everything we can to uphold women and couples who are in, you know, problem and dangerous pregnancies even. But we also need to proclaim that mercy for the captives. 1-800-811-3003. What was what was done and said at your church concerning Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. The other event that is happening this coming week is the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and if you're just joining us, you missed a great conversation with Kelly Rosati from Focus on the Family. Boy, and I'll tell you, she is walking the talk with building her family with four foster children. And she says, you know, with eyes wide open, it isn't easy, but God doesn't call us to do anything to our children other than love them. Doesn't call us to fix them. Doesn't call us to, you know, reject them because they may have had a difficult background. She's so right about that. We'll have the podcast posted if you missed Kelly's comments about it. But tell me how your church is handling this. 1-800-811-3003. And also, would you like to hear something preached on it? Would you like to hear a speaker? Would you like to see some materials in the bulletin for those who don't know anything about the pro-life issue or the cause for life or God's heart for it? Let me know your thoughts. 1-800-811-3003. And for every caller tonight, we'll have a gift from our pro-life resource shelf. 1-800-811-3003. One of the things that's been happening that is on my heart to share with you tonight is something that the Lord has been doing in our relationship, my relationship with Jesus. And I feel it's important that I would share that with you because it's something new, even though I was released from the shame of abortion back in 2001. And the Holy Spirit, confirmed in God's Word, spoke to my heart that my child had been received by Jesus in heaven. And it caused a release of so much pent-up anxiety and sadness and depression, so much fear that I had forever destroyed the possibility of having a good relationship with God or with other people, being able to share the truth. And after that happened, and at the same time that it happened, I also got a call from the Lord to share His love. To let people know that what He is doing on the cross is motivated by His love for us. That the cross is all about His love. And when I wrote my book, when I wrote Cradle My Heart Radio, which was published in 2012, I had already been spending over 10 years researching, writing, speaking, educating myself about the issues of life, about what God's Word really has to say, about what abortion does in the lives of those who choose it. I'm not a counselor, but I've gathered enough hours of the expertise of others to be able to distill and refine for you what many of them have said. And one of the things that I have never done is entered into this practice, this dynamic of forgiving myself. Many people have said to me through the years that it's important that a woman would forgive herself. And to be honest, I never really thought that that was going to be important for me. The primary problem for me was that I felt that I had alienated myself from God. And then I was also so busy nurturing my secret, which was a source of shame for me, that I couldn't get really close to anyone for fear that they would find it out. So I had problems in my relationship with others and problems in my relationship with God, and I certainly had problems in my relationship with myself. I, you know, was very harsh in my judgments and criticisms of myself until I went through a post-abortion Bible study and learned that what I needed to do was take accountability for my part in the decision. And that's what I have tried to help others do as I've had conversations with people through the years and listened to their stories for the purpose of prayer. Again, I'm not a counselor. But God really laid it upon my heart because of some other things that are going on in my life that if I had spent a lot of time judging myself, if I had spent a lot of time blaming myself for other things, not necessarily for the abortion, but you know, that's sort of my emotional pattern with myself. Maybe it could be possible to forgive myself for those same things. And you know how it is when you get a word like that from the Holy Spirit. Maybe you don't, but something kind of surprising. And I tucked it away. And the next day when I sat down for my devotion time, I said, well, you know, I always do a little bit of writing at that time too. I write out my prayers or I do a little writing. And well, if I were to forgive myself for something, would I have anything to forgive myself for? And do you know what? 4 pages poured forth from my pen. So I did a little more research for you in case this concept of forgiving yourself is also new to you. Because what God has shown me in this is that it's really important to forgive ourselves. And, you know, what I had told people is that, you know, look, it's important to accept just how deep your transgression was. Own it. You know, don't try to reject yourself for having done it. Don't try to reject the reality that you took part in something. Own it so that you can repent and so that the Lord can heal you. And that has certainly happened for me. That has happened in such a large measure that it's almost, I want to say it's a miracle. But still, there's this issue of your relationship with yourself, which requires some care as well. You know, maybe you're familiar with Brené Brown. She's very popular right now talking about self-compassion. And I want to be careful here because I think there's a lot of Buddhist thought that goes into that. And I don't think that it necessarily clashes with scripture, but it's not necessarily a doctrine that anybody probably has heard any sermons upon, being compassionate with yourself. But the idea of forgiving yourself, we have the fact that, you know, God forgives us and doesn't remember our sins, as it says in Jeremiah 31. So it doesn't mean that God forgets, but it's really different than to say he doesn't remember. You know, rather, because he forgives us, he chooses not to bring it up in a negative way. There's a great article about this, and we'll link to it at cradlemyheart.org this week, but it's from the website All About God, and it's the author brings to light the fact that Peter said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality." So applying no partiality to the issues of forgiveness, God doesn't choose to forgive one person and not another, so we are forgiven. But well, how about applying his no partiality standard to ourselves? I mean, I would not dream of holding against another person the things that I discovered I'd been holding against myself. And thankfully, there wasn't a large measure of judging and blaming because I've done so much work to reconcile with the Lord and so much work to see myself as he sees me in light of that whole experience. But I did need to put it on the list. I did need to put it on the list. How about you? Do you need to forgive yourself? I mean, it's also not about us forgetting, but it's just not bringing up the offense to yourself in negative ways. Because, wow, I don't know about you, but some of the things that we can say to ourselves when we're upset with ourselves, we would never utter to another human being because they're abusive and they're hurtful and damaging. And wow, I'd really like to see you get out of that cycle. If that's been happening for you, consider forgiving yourself. The question before us for our pro-life resource tonight is, was the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday mentioned at church today? Yes or no? It's a really easy question to answer, and we'd love to get you on the air with your response. And for doing that, we will send you something from our pro-life resource shelf, 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. I'm Kim Cotola. And, you know, as we talk about forgiving yourself, it's not easy to forgive yourself when the people who led you into the decision are not supporting you any longer. And wow, does that ever describe the people who are lobbying so hard for abortion rights, the abortion rights movement? And we see it in the news this week as abortion rights groups criticized Nancy Pelosi over some comments that she made, saying that, she was in an interview defending a woman's right to abortion, but she said, "I don't believe in abortion on demand." The interview appeared in Roll Call, which covers Congress. And NAREL, Pro-Choice America, the abortion rights advocacy group, said in a written statement that, "With abortion rights under attack by lawmakers, advocates need their supporters to speak with a clear and strong voice and should not use twisted GOP talking points." "We don't know women who demand abortion," said the statement by Sasha Bruce, a NAREL senior vice president. "Really? Have you not seen the signs?" Bruce added, "We do know women who make thoughtful decisions about how and if they want to start a family and who need access to all reproductive health care services, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." Nancy Pelosi, of all people, has not been a supporter of pro-life with her voting, nor with almost all of her statements in the past. But because she dared to say she doesn't support abortion on demand, she gets dinged by the abortion rights lobby. They have no idea about humane treatment of women. 1-800-811-3003 is our phone number. Talking about Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, talking about pro-life stories in the news, we've got a dear, dear story about Celine Dion, who is doubly grieved this week, and we'll have that coming up. But there's a ray of hope in the midst of her sorrow, too. Stay with us here at Cradle My Heart Radio, and we'll take your phone calls, too.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others. Find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
So glad to have you with us. Our question tonight, if you'd like to receive something from our pro-life resource shelf, is, was the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday mentioned in a sermon or bulletin insert, or did it come up at church today? A yes-no question, and maybe a reaction to that as well. 1-800-811-3003. Sanctity of Human Life Sunday has been adopted by many churches in many denominations as a way to bring attention to the fact that the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision happens late January. The anniversary this year is the 43rd anniversary. And Sanctity of Human Life is meant to be a counterpoint as God's people come together to intercede, to raise awareness, to speak out, to proclaim truth in the face of such an unjust decision. The decision that the Supreme Court came to was a judicial overreach. And if you have the time and are curious about it, go to our archives and listen to the stories that are slugged Roe v. Wade. We have several of them. You know, our primary purpose isn't the law, but when a law is unjust, it's incumbent upon all of us to speak out. And the rhetoric says that Roe versus Wade is between a woman and her physician, and it's a women's rights issue. But the decision gave women the right to destroy the life of a child without any input from the father of that child. So it gave women rights at the expense of the rights of children and men. It's not an equal rights proposition by any standard. There's so much more to say about it, but it is pertinent to speak out, and it is absolutely apropos. And if you've had an abortion and you're just starting to think about reconciling with God, with yourself, and with others, I pray that you will see that through, because God rewards that. God will reward that for you. And go to cradlemyheart.org, and you'll see on the blog roll on the right menu bar that there are so many organizations that can help you with resources and with post-abortion Bible studies, and I pray that you'll see it through. All right, so I promised you this story about Celine Dion, and, you know, the sad news that her husband died, but her brother died also. He was in his 50s. He had cancer, And so Celine's been in the news as those who, you know, of course, grieve with her, think about what she must be going through. But there's a wonderful story that was posted on LifeSite News today that she's, of course, she's undergoing this chapter in her life, grieving the death of her husband, Renee. Her fairy tale life and fame that she brought not only, of course, to herself, but to Canada, would never have been if a Catholic priest had not convinced her mother not to abort Celine in 1967. And it's likely that her fierce devotion to her husband and family was learned from her mother, who gave her life and the example of loving sacrifice. She was 26 years old. Excuse me, even though her husband was 26 years older, Celine's devotion to her husband, I think, has touched everyone. She canceled a major tour to attend to him in his bout with cancer a couple of years ago. And the story is that she is the 14th child of her mother, who and Celine revealed in 2001 that as her mom was about to give birth, she was distressed, very distressed, at learning of her pregnancy. So she went to a priest, and he told her that she had no right to go against nature. It was a simple way that he put it. So she said, "I have to admit that in a way I owe my life to that priest." She revealed that story when she was about to give birth to her first child. And she said she adores her mother. Therese was the star of the family. She said, "I'll never forget. She was the one who went knocking on Rene's door in the first place for him to become my manager. I was just a kid. She was the one who wrote my first song ever. I owe her everything." And she said she told the story back in 2001. It was in Hello magazine and previewed in the National Post. And Celine said, my mother had already brought up 13 children. For more than 20 years, she had been locked into a hellish cycle of washing, ironing, housework, 365 days a year. She thought, rightly, that she had done her duty. And the two little ones, twins, Paul and Pauline, were about to go to school. At last, she'd have some time to herself. At last, she'd be able to go out, perhaps go traveling with my father, revisit the area where they both had been brought up. Then suddenly, she was pregnant again. And so she was so shattered, she went to see the parish priest to see if she could do something about it. Well, once she got over her disappointment that an abortion was out of the question, added Dion, she loved me as passionately as she loved the last little ones. That love for children and family was passed on to Celine and can be seen in her care and concern for her children. She said, "My success is my family." And she said that in People magazine in 2012. She said, "My life is to be a mom. It's what I enjoy the most. It's my most amazing reward. I'll take a chance with my music, but I don't take risks with my family." And it's just an amazing tribute. You know, we've heard many stories about others. Andrea Bocelli, who were almost aborted. Choosing life is not always easy, and sometimes it goes beyond being difficult. But it's a decision and a choice that everyone can live with. And I was telling someone recently that, you know, a group of high-powered female attorneys went to the Supreme Court recently to tell their abortion stories in order to keep abortion legal. They wanted the court to see how they had arrived at their positions in life thanks to abortion. And whether or not you think that that's a social value that we should uphold, there's no glory in that story. You know, the glory in my story is certainly not anything that I did, other than to say yes when Jesus Christ offered forgiveness, to say yes to step out of the unlocked cell that I had placed myself in, to surrender to his love. That's the only thing that I did of any value in the story. And as I mentioned, he has given me to know that he receives the children in heaven. Even in his earthly ministry, he said, "Suffer the little children to come to me." And when we reconcile ourselves to God, we have the hope of a heavenly reunion with the children that we rejected, who never got to draw that first breath because of our choices. There's glory that only God can bring about in a story like that. There's glory awaiting you at the end of your story when Jesus writes you a new ending. And he is the one who makes all things beautiful in his time. Please, I do want to encourage you. Begin the journey back to his love if you've not ever done so. There are so many stories in the news this week that we did not get a chance to cover, but if you go to our Facebook page and like the page, you'll see them in your news feed. And that's simply facebook.com/cradlemyheart. And it's linked at our website, which is cradlemyheart.org. I hope that you'll go there. I hope you'll be able to join us next week, too. Stephanie Gray is going to be with us. She's a pro-life apologist from Canada, and she has a great message about speaking out and about how to defend your pro-life view no matter where you find yourself and no matter who opposes you. She does it with grace and with style and with a lot of great equipping for the rest of us. So join us every Sunday. We'll be here. We are praying for you. And remember, Jesus loves you and so do we. Thanks for listening.